Yeah, my name is Mike Volz. I'm the 6th District Representative running for re-election. My day job is I'm the Chief Deputy Treasurer at Spokane County, where we collect taxes and manage money and all that stuff. I've been married for 29 years in about a week. Three kids live on the north side of town. My wife's a teacher, and I do a little teaching at Whitworth University for the adult ed program and in the past for the MBA program.
So what was the... What was the allure of running for the state legislature?
Well, you know, there's a lot of issues in the state. I have, about 20 years of public sector finance experience, both at the county and at STA. But what really kind of compelled me was education. My wife's a teacher. My dad was a teacher, and he was a union rep for public school employees. My mom was a teacher. All three of my kids went through K-12 public schools, and just kind of the roller coaster that the teachers, the education process, the testing, all the changes that were going on, McCleary unresolved. So that was kind of a big issue that compelled me to run, I think, between kind of a commitment to public education and a strong finance background kind of motivated me to run and see what I could do to help out.
And so it was an interesting term to be in Olympia, given the argument about McCleary and the sufficiency of funding for public schools. How did you approach that debate?
Well, first of all, I served on two of the key committees that address that. I was on the Education Committee, which I asked for, and the Appropriations Committee, which is the big operating budget committee. So I approached that problem. There's dollars and cents side of it, too, and then there's trying to do the right thing in the policy issue. So I worked hard to balance those out and then analyze the impact of the final bill and make sure we had a good, solid solution. And I tell people, is it the best solution that we could have come up with? The answer is no, but it's the best solution that we could come up with that would meet the requirement of the Supreme Court, which I think is an unfortunate situation to be in. So that's kind of was my approach to the education McCleary decision and solution.
So given that you work for the treasurer's office, your office doesn't does your office get the state property taxes that went up this year for most folks?
Absolutely. We do. We process those. We got a tremendous amount of calls when the taxes went up this year. So I kind of got a double hit with it, both at work and in the legislative side of my life. A lot of people called concerned about the tax increases that were built into the McCleary fix. So that was a big issue and a big concern for a lot of folks in the 6th District, where, the 6th is interesting. They will support stuff like STA in the school districts, but attacks out of Olympia, they don't seem to be very supportive. In fact, they were strongly opposed on the advisory vote on the McCleary tax increase. So got a few calls, comments, emails on that, both in the treasurer's office and on the legislative side.
So how did you explain that to them? I imagine a lot of calls got routed your way since you were involved in the debate.
Yeah, quite a few. I actually did a presentation for that. They have a program at the county called Employee Connection. So I did a presentation at the Employees Connection about the taxes and why they go up this year, and then they come down a little bit, but it may or may not be higher than it was in 2017 before, the 1 year bump in 18. So yeah, I got quite a few, and it was pretty straightforward. You can pretty much go to the state new tax, point to it. Most people accept that as being close enough to why their overall tax bill went up.
So with at least that education issue sort of set aside and the Supreme Court is satisfied, what would be next for you in 2019?
Well, so I recently got one issue that's simmering out there, and we can talk about a couple. But I think there's an ongoing mental health, public safety, a drug issue that's out there that's festering. I've had a number of conversations with Sheriff Knezovich and the folks at the health district about it. We need to get our arms around that and see what that looks like, on solving that problem and prioritizing that in the state thing. And it's really a local issue. There's a role for the state, but the work really gets done in the local communities. The other one that's kind of been with the media and the papers is the public records of the legislature. And I walked in the middle. I didn't know that. I've lived under the public records law in the treasurer's office and STA for 20 years now. But it's a different environment in there, and there's some different challenges in there. But we need to get a fix. We have a good vehicle. It's a bill that the Republicans presented, but it was Paul Graves was the primary sponsor. That's a good bill. Recently, I've just been appointed to a select committee to actually work on that issue in the upcoming months and into the next year because of my my firsthand knowledge of living under the existing law. So we will get hopefully something solved on the public records, because a lot of them ought to be just like every other government. Folks should be able to see them. There is some whistleblower stuff. There is some sensitive stuff. We get emails from victims of all sorts of crimes and stuff, and should that really be pumped out to the headlines? I think most people would probably agree that there should be some sensitivity to these folks that were victims or in horrible situations. So
let's go back to the mental health thing. From what we hear, maybe the approach is to do more of that mental health in smaller community sort of situations rather than larger hospitals like Eastern State and Western State. Do you think that's the right approach?
I think it's a patchwork, and there's a lot of great organizations, public, private, small, medium, large in our community that are working on the mental health and other issues. I think there's a role for the big, Eastern State, Western State hospitals that can't be met in any other setting. But I think it's a partnership approach, and it really starts with these kind of community based, whether it's government or nonprofits that are in the community. They know their clients way better than we ever will in Olympia. They know who should be there, who shouldn't be there. They know their names. They know their addresses. And so I think that's where the focus ought to be, is getting resources to these folks on the front lines dealing with this. And a lot of people, it's really the mental health, the drugs, all that are clogging our courts, and the jails. And if you ever listen to Sheriff Knezovich talk or our prosecutor, Larry Haskell, they'll tell you that there's a lot of mental health stuff in there that we need to find a way that is more humane than ramming them through the courts and into jails to try to keep them out. Now, there's certain crimes that you're going to jail, or you're going through the courts. But a lot of this stuff is really a mental health issue. And I think there's a more compassionate, humane way of dealing with it and diverting and intervening, hopefully before they get into the court system. And the bottom line on the financial side, that's a human side, which to me is more important. But the financial side is, we're paying for it now. Let's figure out a way to do it better.
So as you mentioned, with the financial side and with education, you ended up spending a lot more money, the state did. Do you anticipate the state is going to have to outlay a lot more money for mental health?
Well, I think we need to look at different options on prioritization of the spending, because there's a lot of money in the state coffers right now. I think we start out about 8 or so years ago, about $30 billion, or $51 billion in general fund revenue, give or take. But I do think it should be some sort of local option or local control on whatever structure we prefer. And I always advocate for sending it to the vote of the people. And I know, a lot of this stuff, the people in Spokane County would support it, even if we had a high number, 60% requirement or whatever. People in Spokane would support it if we lay out a clear package with a clear message and let them know what the money's going for. We're a very generous and giving community. So that would be my approach on trying to. Do it is give a little bit more tools for the local communities, local governments, and there's a role for state, and a lot of that has to do with prioritization of spending.
So you've been in Spokane for 40 or so years. The perception, at least my perception as a longtime resident, is that a lot of those folks who are now on the streets used to be in institutions where they were taken care of. Is that your perception as well?
Yeah, a lot of them, and you're right, it goes way back. I think in the 80s, there was some, they used to be able to just round people up literally and lock them up, and there was a court case that says you can't do that. So it used to be much easier for the mandatory forced, confinement. And so those people are out and it's discretionary, which makes it more of a challenge. I mean, it's you know, you can't lock up everybody just because you think they have issues. But that's where I think the connection to the community and these local groups on dealing with the mental health, where they know them by name, you know, they know them and they're out there on the streets literally helping these folks. So that's where I think we can succeed in this.
So forgive me, because I'm going to ask you about an issue that I don't know how you voted. The five commissioner bill with the legislature mandated that Spokane County go from three commissioners to five. How did you vote on that one?
I voted yes, and I think most of us in Spokane voted yes and supported that. There was actually a couple of vehicles out there on that, on going to some sort of district voting. So we voted yes on that. We actually got involved in it to try to make the bill better, because honestly, the Democrats had the votes and they had the people, including votes from both, you know, Republican caucuses. So we tried to improve the bill, try to preserve the process. And there's things that changed over the last years. There's a lawsuit in Yakima where they got sued. It cost them millions of dollars, and they ultimately had to go to district voting. So there's a financial piece, and that was under the existing Federal Voting Rights Act. Well, there's a new State Voting Rights Act that actually broadens the availability for these types of lawsuits, and it's the direction I think that it's going. The Washington State Voters Right Law, Voters Right Act was modeled after California, where they've had, I heard, over 100, 150, whatever the number is, of these lawsuits based on very similar type of things. So we wanted to preserve the process, make it align better with the state process, and kind of protect us from lawsuits.
So is it more a case of trying to mitigate the legal issues? Or do you actually support the idea of going from three commissioners to five?
Well, the big one is mitigating the issue, and you know, a lot of times in Olympia, you, on some of these issues, you set aside your personal views. I do like the idea of five commissioners, though, personally, but that wasn't the main driver in my decision to try to intervene. Jeff Holey and I, you know, worked with the representatives from the 3rd District trying to craft a better bill that we could kind of protect the interests of Spokane better.
I'm curious about juggling your job as a state legislator versus a guy who is a fairly high-level county official. How do you do that?
Long days. So there's very long days. I have, you know, thank goodness for technology. I have a tablet at home for county stuff. You know, I can log in the evenings. I come down here on the weekends. If you want to stroll by, I'll probably be in my office this weekend on Saturday. So it's really time management and you know, carving out blocks of time. You know, when I'm in Olympia, I take a leave of absence. You know, the requirement is I have to use up all my vacation, then it's unpaid status. So a lot of unpaid time, you know, when I'm out of the area, when I'm in the area, very long days.
Does being a treasurer help you as being a legislator?
Yeah, deputy treasurer.
I'm sorry, deputy.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yes, yeah. No, that's fine. No, it does. I whether it's a treasurer or I think working in local government helps. You know, certainly the treasurer's office, where we work with, you know, the property tax day in and day out, where we work with the real estate excise tax and some of these, you know, property issues. Day in and day out, working at STA, where STA was, you know, relying on sales tax, so understanding that component piece when I was there. So yeah, I think it helps tremendously.
So there's one commissioner who talks a lot about the unfunded mandates, more than one. one now, I think, who talks about the unfunded mandates that the state legislature says you shall do this, but we're not going to give you the money to do. Do you see that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And I think the big one is I think the big one that they tout as the highest dollar amount is the indigent defense, where it's actually a state requirement, but the state chips in very little in that. And that's a frustration of mine in my first term is this lack of prioritization, you know. And granted, there's all of these other things that are pressing and compelling, but you kind of have to pay for what you've already committed to. You know, another example is our senior state retirees. Well, they're on a certain plan. They don't get COLAs, so it all has to be legislatively approved. I think they should get a reasonable COLA. That's the cost of doing government. They kept their word to us. They did what we asked them to do when they were working, and I think we owe it to them to treat them like, you know, the retirees in some of these other plans. So there's a long list of these unfunded mandates, unfunded requirements that they like cutting ribbons and shiny new things in Olympia, and I'm more of a kind of a foundational guy where you got to take care of the base stuff first before you run off and do new things.
So do you make that argument that you guys really need to?
Absolutely. I make that argument that we need to prioritize the spending. And I'm going to be more vocal about it this time out. I mean, it was new, and it was you walk into Olympia in 2017, right in the middle of McCleary on two of the biggest committees in Olympia, and it was, you know, I think drinking from a fire hose doesn't quite do it justice. It was, but you know, sorting through that stuff and learning the nuances of it. So I will be a lot more vocal about that prioritization issue.
You made reference a little while ago to the voters in the 6th district. They'll support certain things, but they won't. So tell me about your district, because as the boundaries change, it's become quite an interesting district.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I've been in the 6th, I would say, depending on where the boundary is, for most of my life. Actually, I live up by Whitworth, and when we moved into town in 73, 74, I'm probably 2 or 3 miles from where I live now. But the district, yeah, starts at Whitworth and goes through Medical Lake, Airway Heights, Cheney. There's some agricultural area, and then ends up on the South Hill. So on either side, there's kind of the suburban middle, upper middle class, and then you have, you know, Cheney, Medical Lake, Airway Heights, the air base, some farm land out there somewhere. And so it is a very interesting and diverse district. Like I said, they support the STA taxes. They generally are pretty good at supporting schools. I know Cheney had, you know, three tries to get their bond issue. But they're very strongly and very vocal against these tax increases out of Olympia. So that's kind of the challenge of my job, is how do we meet these needs without without having to raise taxes and come back and try to explain that to the folks in the 6th. So
you also have a district that's undergoing an amazing amount of growth lately, and with Amazon coming, it's just going to get bigger.
Amazon, it's amazing to see, even before this job, the West Plains is kind of a great untapped resource. Well, now it's getting tapped. We have, STA is putting out a transfer station out there. I think we got some money out there for an interchange in the capital budget. We had a rail project in there that kind of extends a rail line towards the airport that opens up even more land for light, medium industrial. So yeah, it's exploding, and there's a lot of a growth right now in Spokane, and a lot of it is really driven by kind of these, I think a lot of companies are looking for different opportunities other than, the I-5 corridor because of congestions or the tax environment or whatever else is going on up there. We have affordable land. We have a good workforce, friendly business environment. So.